Well, I feel very honored to stand here and share with you this morning. I don't feel worthy, but I do feel honored and count it a privilege. And it's my prayer that the Lord, our Savior, might be honored, and that His Word would be magnified in all of our hearts this morning. He would sanctify this hour and use it for His own purpose and His glory. I know many of you, or a number of you, have had the privilege of hearing Doss stand right in this very spot and proclaim the Word of God. And this thought of man to man was never very far from his thoughts. And it was often that we had the privilege of hearing him expound the Scriptures and challenge us and ask us to claim promises that God would use us in the lives of people. And when I left in 1956 along with Margie, I took Isaiah 58:12 as that verse that the Lord might use in our lives, that we might raise up the foundations of many generations, and that we might be called to repair the breach, the restore of the past to dwell in. And so through the years, that promise has been in my prayers and in my thoughts and promises like it. But it was because of Doss that there was a burden laid upon my heart to raise up men and to give myself to individuals that they might become Christ-like and that they might become effective for Jesus Christ. Now, I had this on my heart before I ever met the Navigators. I was a very young Christian and recalled into the Navy back in 51. And went into the Navy with a real desire to be a witness for Christ. And the Lord blessed, and finally one of the fellows came to the Lord. And although I had been raised in church and been in Bible school and so forth, I had never heard anything about follow-up or how you help a man grow in Christ. And I felt a responsibility to help this fellow. We were out at sea a great deal. There was no chaplain aboard ship. And at one point, we were 6 months without any Christian fellowship. But there was a great concern in my heart for this fellow. His name was Jack. And so I just started doing some things with him. I gave him some verses of Scripture to memorize, which I had memorized. We started getting together each day in the Word and sharing the Word with him. And I remember the first day that we did that, after talking about the Word, I said, "Well, Jack, why don't you pray and I'll pray." He said, "I don't know how to pray." And that threw me back for a moment. And I said, "Well, look, I'll pray a sentence and you follow me, okay?" He said, "Sure." And it started, and that continued on. And for 5 years, we stayed together and fellowshiped together and met the Navs together and grew in the Lord together. And when I met the Navs in Norfolk, Virginia, Ken Swan, the director of the work then, was speaking on how you help a young Christian grow in Christ, and how you can share your life with them. And I was sold immediately and said in my heart, "Well, this is where I'm coming back to." And you haven't gotten rid of me since. But you know, I was thinking, as much as this is on my heart, I never had anyone meet with me individually over a period of time that is consistently. And I was wondering, how many of you have had that experience that you have not had man to man, someone has met with you consistently over a period of time? Let me see your hands. Have not. They have not. Well, quite a few, really. Almost, not quite half, but quite a few. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Well, today I would like to take a few points on the subject of man-to-man and talk about them with you. And the first one is the scriptural basis of man-to-man. Now, when I say man-to-man, or when I'm using this term, I am thinking of spending regular personal time with an individual for the purpose of that individual becoming, one, Christ-like, and two, effective in his ministering to others. So that's what I'm thinking about when I am using this term man to man. Now, the term man to man is not a scriptural term, it's not biblical. And I remember Howie Hendricks standing in this room and speaking to us and say we don't find as many passages of scripture that teach man to man as we would really like in the scriptures. And we don't. And actually, this is a method based on principles that we see in the Word. And it's these principles I would like us to look into and to meditate upon this morning. And that, that first principle that we see is the importance of the individual and the way the Lord Jesus, and especially the Apostle Paul, gave himself to individuals. We read in Colossians 1, familiar first verses and the latter part of that chapter, verses 28 and 29. And we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. And for this purpose also I labor, striving according to the power that mightily works within me. And it was Paul's desire here that every man might grow up to be perfect or mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, that ought to be upon our hearts as well, that every individual would come to know the Lord and be fruitful in ministering to others. We see this same expression, not every man, but each one of you in Acts 20 and verse 31, where he said he exhorted and taught everyone with tears, night and day for 3 years. We see the same expression in 1 Thessalonians 2:11. And throughout the scriptures, especially in the life of Jesus, as he dealt with people, in fact, in two of the Gospels, I just can't remember which they were, there are more incidents of where Jesus dealt with one or less than three people than there are incidents where he dealt with three or more. And Jesus and Paul, whose lives we seek to follow, had a great heart for the individual. And as men and women who would follow the Lord, we must also have this on our heart for ourselves. Every man, each person growing up in the Lord Jesus, that they might be fully equipped, that they might become like the Lord Jesus Christ. The second principle that we see in the scriptures is that of the father and son relationship. Reading in 1 Corinthians 4, where Paul is exhorting the Corinthian church, which had fallen into various kinds of sins, and were not walking as they ought to walk. And he said to them here, I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Also in 1 John, John the Apostle divides the Christians up into three groups. Divides them up into fathers, to young men, and to little children. John 2, 13 and 14. And he speaks of fathers as those who know Jesus Christ. And of young men who are strong and in whom the word of God is abiding. Now, the very term fathers indicates that they have children and that they have those to whom they are ministering, to whom they have fathered. They have fathered them and brought them up in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in our terminology, we would call the fathers disciple makers, the young men disciples. They're strong and the word of God abides in them. And the little children, as new converts, young Christians. Now, the father and son relationship points to a warmth of relationship. It points to love. It's not an 8-hour job such as a teacher would have with a pupil, and you would go in and teach them, or that we would meet with an individual once a week for a couple hours and share with him and teach him what we know. But there is a relationship of love. There's a relationship of warmth. There's a relationship where there is responsibility and where there is accountability. This is the expression that the Lord uses concerning himself and us. The filial relationship, the father-son relationship, that he loves us. And we also to exemplify that in our dealings with those that God gives to us. To be a father, to be a spiritual mother to those that we have. Paul and John often referred to their converts, those that they had won to Christ, as their children. My little children. Galatians 4:19, my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. So we have the emphasis of the individual, the importance of the individual, and that we need to have on our heart that every individual is to grow up in Christ. Then there is the example and the teaching of the father-son relationship. And then finally, we have the example of what we affectionately call the with him principle. And maybe this gets closest to the man-to-man method that we speak about. We know well Mark 3:14, where he says, and he ordained 12, that they might be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. Paul, when he was going on a second missionary journey in Acts 16, found this young man Timothy. And it's most likely that on the first missionary journey that he went on and visited in Lystra and Derbe, that he won Timothy to the Lord and brought him to a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And on the second journey, he went there and he said he would have Timothy to go with him, that he might disciple him, that he might train him, that he might become a co-laborer with him in the ministry that God had called him to. Now, it's interesting to note that the with him principle relates to the training of leadership, especially in these two passages. Where Jesus called the 12, he called them to train them, to equip them for leadership. The same is true with Timothy. Lauren divides up our NAV ministry into three areas. He speaks of evangelism, of establishing the believers, and equipping the believers. And it's especially in that last aspect where you and I must concentrate. We, as the Navigator representative, our ministry must encompass evangelism and establishing and equipping. But our time, our primary time and emphasis needs to be invested in equipping men for leadership in the ministry that God has given to us. And this must be a means to an end, that of making them Christ-like and that they might become effective in the ministry to which God has called them. I was with Scotty last year. He was up in Denver speaking to pastors up there, and afterwards we went out and had some fellowship and coffee together, and we were talking about this matter of training. And Scotty made this statement. He says, we overtrain our people. He said there are small core of people, that is those who are going to labor with us, that we must train very thoroughly. But he said the thousands need little training. He says we need to motivate them and give them the tools to do the job. I don't know if you agree with that statement, but I have thought about it much. since he said that, and I have come to agree with it quite a bit. In the 2-7 ministry, we are training people, giving them tools to work with. And often, their training consists of a weekend of training. Now, we are seeking to select people in that weekend training who have a heart for Jesus Christ and who will be committed to the disciplines of the 2-7 course and who have some leadership ability. But prior to that, they have not had any training from us. And the training which we give them takes place in that 24-hour span that we're with them. And then we send them out, so to speak, and they get a group of people and they begin ministering. And these people, with that motivation and with that tool, and because they have a heart for God and commit themselves to the principles of the 2-7, they go out and make disciples for Jesus Christ. They do it. And we have seen it over and over and over again. Now, some of those men I will take and carry on a ministry of equipping and training them for the purpose of greater leadership and greater effectiveness in their walk with Jesus Christ. But the greatest majority of those that we train, that's the extent of their training. And then we have some things after that. I seek to see them periodically to give them counsel, to give some help. I get them together and we talk and fellowship and share and I preach at them and so forth. But I am not carrying on a man-to-man ministry with them as such as I am with some others. One of these fellows, Dave Shropshire, went through 5 courses before he had any regular personal man-to-man help. He was a fellow who had been praying before he ever got into the 2-7. God, send someone or something along that can help us grow in Christ. He and his wife were both praying that. The 2-7 came along. They felt it was an answer to the prayer. They took the weekend training and they were off and running concerning teaching course 1. Now, at the same time that they were teaching course 1, they were a student in course 2. And I think, Bob, you had them as a student. He had a student course 2 up to around 4, and then I took over in 5 and 6, I believe, somewhere along there. But that was their input. It was a group context input. In course 3, that he was teaching, he and 3 other couples that they had led over 12 people to Christ. They hadn't had man-to-man training. They were growing. They were applying the things that they were learning. They were teaching others. They were learning them at the same time. They were sort of one step ahead of those that they were helping. And when I saw what was happening, I sort of saddled up beside him, and we've been getting personal time ever since. And he has been growing. Another man, Bob Minard, started teaching course 1. And a Japanese couple came into his group. They were on the verge of divorce. We didn't know at the time when they came in there that they were not Christians. They came from another church. They heard about this training and they wanted to get in on it and thought maybe this might help them. During the course of the testimony, this was back when we had the old course 1. The testimony was in course 1. During that period of time, they came to Christ. And their lives were just turned around. And they got so excited about what had happened to them and what they had learned in course 1. About getting into the Word of God and memorizing a few verses of Scripture and coming to know the Lord in a personal way, they said, we've got to go back to our church, which was a Methodist church, a liberal church. They said, we've got to go back there and share what Jesus Christ has done for us. So little training, so little help, 3 months worth of help. It was during that time they came to the Lord. They went back there, and in the next 2 years, they led over 30 people to Christ in that church. There's a Japanese church. One of those couples, a young couple, early 20s, was in our recent weekend training for training 2-7 leaders. And this couple was there that had been led to the Lord by this older Japanese couple and had helped them and did certain things with them. They didn't know about man to man, but they had that personal interest, concern, and love, and helped them. And they were taking the training, and they have several other Asian students, young couples, whom they are now taking through the 2-7, and God is using them. Well, here are just a few examples of people who haven't had man to man, but they had a heart for God, they were motivated, they were giving a tool, and they were off and running. But with those that we want to co-labor with us, those that are going to join with us in the ministry and whom we want to see take a leadership upon themselves, they are those that we must get together with as Jesus took his 12 and imparted himself and his life with them and seek to equip them that they might become godly and that they might be effective more and more in the matter of reaching out and discipling men for Christ. All right, I'd like to take some time on what is the purpose of man to man. I've said it several times, what the purpose is, and I will say it once again, two purposes. One is that they might become godly, holy, Christ-like individuals. That is the very basis of that which they are going to do for Christ. And we know it's the will of God. We have no reticence or we have no doubts that that is the will of God for those individuals, that they become like the Lord Jesus Christ. And then secondly, that they might become effective in obeying the command of Jesus Christ to go out and make disciples of all nations. So that is the purpose, whether it is a lecture such as is going on now, or whether it's in the context of a small group where there is an interchange, an exchange of spiritual truth and sharing one with another, or whether it's on a man-to-man basis, two individuals together. This must be the goals which we have, and we must keep them before us continually and relate what we're doing in every situation to these two purposes. Now, I want to speak about a few things which relate to these two purposes. Other purposes that we need to have in meeting with individuals. The first one is that of developing a close relationship with that individual. I thought it was very evident when John Beckingdam was sharing his testimony the other night concerning Walt and Walt's relationship with John, that Walt established a warm, close relationship with John, which was a basis for what he wanted to share and teach and help John with. That seemed to be evident. It came through in that testimony. We see the relationship that Paul had with his son Timothy. My beloved son. A very close, a very intimate relationship. And when I start meeting with an individual, I do not only think of spending a half a year, year, 2-3 years, but I am thinking of a lifelong relationship with those that I start meeting with. And that is my plan, that is my goal, that is my desire. And I can imagine that that has been your desire and is your desire and has become your experience, that those that maybe some years ago you met with and shared with, you help them. Today, they are your close friends, intimate friends. And even though you don't see them for years, you get back together again and there is that relationship as though you had been away a day. And the freedom of sharing, opening your heart up to one another. A lifelong relationship, and that is one of the privileges and the joys of our ministry, I believe. I mean, just being together this week and with friends that we've grown up with and we've done a lot of sharing with, and heartaches, problems, joys. That's some of the great blessing of just being together this week. What a privilege. Building close relationships. This takes time. It doesn't happen in a few weeks or a few months. It really takes years. Now, we need this close relationship, number one, for the purpose of spiritual fellowship, so that we might nourish one another's souls and feed one another. And as you know, man to man is not a one-way street. It is receiving as well as giving. And it's the will of God that we exhort one another and nourish and help and build up one another. And the closer the relationship, the more freedom we have to do that. And then the extent to which we counsel a person depends on the depth of the relationship. And the closer the relationship, the more intimate, the more freedom you have in sharing personal things and being honest in sharing what is on your heart. And so we must seek to establish a relationship of love and warmth and openness. Paul, in speaking to his son in the faith, said, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. And Timothy had witnessed those things. He saw what had happened to Paul, the sufferings. But he says, thou hast fully known. There was an intimate relationship with those men, a close relationship. Like a father to his son. The second purpose that we need to have, which relates to the purpose of the two purposes of seeing them become godly and seeing them become fruitful and effective, is a ministry of encouragement to the people that God gives to us. We need to see ourselves as having a ministry of encouragement, even as Barnabas, who was known as the son of consolation, had. When I got the assignment to, or was asked to give this message, I made a little questionnaire out and gave it to the people I was meeting with and wanted to get some input from them. And one of the things I asked them, what do you feel is the primary benefit of receiving a personal help in man-to-man time? And in various ways, it was mentioned the encouragement that they have to follow and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I work on this. I work on it. I work on praising everything that I can. When I had the joy of spending a year with Bob and Myrna Bremner, 67-68, in Cedar Falls, Bob and Margie and I went to the Dale Carnegie course. 4 hours a night for, 10 or 12 weeks. And one of the things which you would do, if you had been in Dale Carnegie course, you can identify with this, that every night you had to stand up and speak. But it was never longer than 2 minutes, usually a minute and a half or 2 minutes. And usually you were sharing something from your own life, some experience that you had. Now, the first night that we got together, they brought them up in groups of four, and they could either lean on tables that were there and sit on the tables. And these were Iowa farm people. And you could sense they were not at home standing up in front of a group of people. They were ill at ease. And they were only asked to give their name and what they were hoping to get out of this this course. All right, so we got started. And every night, everybody would be standing up there twice a night. So every time that we would get up and say something, the instructor would come up and take one thing that you did right, and he would praise it to the heavens. So person after person, the same thing happened. There was no, you could foul up royally, you know, just terrible. He would never say a thing about that. He would take the one thing that you did right and use that as an example for all the rest of us to follow. Night after night, night after night. We had about 30 people, didn't we, Bob? So 60 times, you know, he would be up there praising somebody for what they did. Well, after a while, you could do no wrong. So at about the fourth or fifth time, people were just anxious to get up there. They couldn't wait to get up there to say what they had to say. And when Margie and I would drive home, we would start talking about the people and the change that was in their lives because of this one thing, praise. Now, I've never forgotten that example, Bob. Never forgot that. Paul's ministry, a great deal of Paul's ministry had to do with encouraging the brethren. I just noticed on all three of his missionary journeys, it was mentioned that he sought to encourage and strengthen the brethren. At the end of the first missionary journey in Acts 14, and verse 21, he had made the tour and he was beginning to return. And it says there that after they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples and encouraging them to continue in the faith. Now, our people, they need encouragement. You and I need encouragement. They're out in the battle. They're under the pressures of life. They're being attacked by the enemy. And if when they meet with us, the battle continues, well, there won't be much joy for them in being with us. And, you know, we've had times when people where the battle continued rather than let up. And so we need to encourage those whom God gives us. They need that encouragement. We need that encouragement. And what does it do for us? Oh, it just strengthens us when someone gives us a sincere pat on the back. And so I look for things which I can compliment and praise in my time with men. I look for it. And my men enjoy being with me. I believe I can say that. They enjoy being with me. Because I believe the reason is I encourage them. I seek to encourage them. They need it. I need it. And boy, I'll tell you, they encourage me. They really do. They bless my soul. And I was telling Dean, my roommate last night, Dean Verkampis, that whenever I am discouraged, I know what I need to do is to go out and get with one of my men and have some fellowship with them. Because I always leave that time encouraged and blessed. A ministry of encouragement. Then, another purpose which we need has to do with accountability. Holding people accountable to which we have mutually agreed upon. Lauren Sanney came and spoke to us at the Western Region Staff Conference up in the mountains, not this past summer, but the summer before. And he said one thing that I quickly wrote down and which has been brought back to me over and over again. He said, all men need accountability all of their lives, and there are no exceptions. I don't know if you agree with that, but the more I thought about it, the more I said in my own heart, yes, that is right. I need accountability. I need someone to encourage me and to check up on me to help me do the things I know I should be doing. And so we need to hold our men accountable for goals that we have agreed upon. And I think they especially relate to goals. Especially relate to the goals that we have. Now, I seek to have goals for each individual person that I meet with, which relates to the two primary goals. And the goals fall in the area of their personal walk with Jesus Christ, their family relationships, and their ministry. And I am working with them constantly with these and helping them to establish goals for their people. And I keep a record of those things. I keep a record of what I do every time I go out. I plan before I meet with them. And I'm always thinking about those goals that we have. Now they're changing all the time. You know, every 2 or 3 months there may be a new set of goals. And when we get together, then I talk about these goals and find out how it's going and what progress is being made. Holding them accountable for that which they have agreed upon and which they want to accomplish. Accountability. I find this very hard to train men in. That is, to have goals for themselves and to have goals for the people that they're working with. I find that it's work. I find that it's work for me to continually be thinking, now, what do I need to be accomplishing with Dave? Or with Reese, or with Jerry. What is it that I ought to be accomplishing at this time? What are their needs? And sometimes I draw a blank and I say, hey, what goals do you have for yourself? Maybe they don't have any. I say, well, look, why don't you get a half day with the Lord and come up with some goals? And so they'll do that and they'll come up with goals. And often I will adopt the goals which they have for their own life if I don't come up with goals in these areas for them. But continually working on this area of goals. And after a while, they begin having those goals for the people that they're working with. And I have them write them down. I have them give them to me. But I find that I have to work on it month after month, year after year with them. And little by little, I notice it becoming a part of their lives. But I find it hard to work on this of consistently having goals. All right. Those three purposes, developing close relationships, encouraging them, and holding them accountable are all goals, purposes that we need to have in the light of the two major purposes of them becoming Christ-like and becoming effective in sharing their lives. Now, I'd like to talk for a little bit with you on the attitudes that you and I need in man-to-man. And the first is an attitude of honesty. Now, there's two ways that we can look at honesty. One has to do with that we have the courage to speak the truth to that individual. We have the courage. That's not always easy for us to do. To speak the truth. And then there's the other aspect of honesty, of letting people know that we also are in need of the grace and the mercy of God on a daily basis. That we are not coming to them as the great example and the great resource and the one who has all knowledge. But in humility, we meet with them and identify with them as people who have needs in their lives. And it's that honesty that I just want to emphasize. Being honest with our people, sharing our own needs with them. Now we need wisdom, of course, in sharing our needs depending on their development in the Lord and where they are. But there should come a time down the road that we're able to share anything with them. Doesn't happen in a year or two, but after some years when they become more of a co-laborer with us in the ministry, that we can share our lives, share anything with them. and let them know where we are and that we are in need of the grace of God. Psalms 130, verses 3 and 4. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. To have the attitude of honesty in the sense that we also are in need of the grace and the mercy of God. And I mentioned before that my men challenge and bless me, and they really do. And sometimes I come away far more challenged than I know they are when they leave. Just a couple weeks ago, I was with a fellow by the name of Tony Metcalf. And he was having some struggles on the job. He's in management and a lot of pressure. So he decided he needed some extra time with God. So he said, Lord, whatever time you wake me up in the morning, I'm going to get up. And he's used to getting up early. The first morning, he woke up at 2 o'clock. He said it took him up until about 5 to get the victory over it. But he got up and he said, I spent 3 hours on my knees praying. And not only that morning, it went on for a number of mornings, not 2 o'clock, but earlier than his usual time. And he told God, I will get up whenever you waken me. And he got up. Well, that challenged me. I'll tell you, that challenged me. Two of the men that I work with have taken their TVs and put them away. They will not let the TV be used anymore in their homes. That was a challenge to me, personally. Not saying that everyone should put their TV away, but their dedication, their commitment, and their willingness, you know, to do whatever God wanted them to do, that, you know, I walk away challenged and had to search my own heart concerning what I am doing. And of course, if we let our people, they will bless us and challenge us. So honesty, we need to be honest with those that God gives to us. And then secondly, having a compassionate heart. How do we come across to them? Do we come across to them with this attitude, shape up or ship out? Now, I know I have in the past. I do not think I do it now, but I know in the past I have come across that way. I've had people come across that way to me. And I was sort of imparting to others what had been imparted to me. Well, we make it 10 times harder for that person to get victory in the situation than if we had had compassion and spoken the truth in love. Because not only is he fighting with himself in the thing that he's trying to get victory over, but he's also fighting with his attitude towards you because of your attitude towards him. And you've experienced that. I've experienced that. 10 times harder to get the victory because of the way that the thing, even though it was true, was shared with us. I love that passage in John 13 at the Last Supper, just the evening before Jesus Christ was crucified, and he took off his robe and put a towel around himself and began to wash the disciples' feet. And it says he came to Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And the Lord said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus saith unto him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. There was an ultimatum. And then you see the response of Peter. Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Isn't that beautiful? Immediate obedience. Now, there was not that attitude on the heart of Jesus, shape up or ship out. There was an ultimatum given. The truth was spoken. But he was committed to Peter. He loved Peter. And that showed through in the truth that he spoke to Peter and made it easy for Peter to say, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Oh, that's beautiful. I love that passage. Our people need a heart far more than they need a head. They need a heart. They need someone who will lift them up, who will encourage them. Sometimes they're weeping, sometimes they're bleeding. And they need that help, they need that encouragement. Verses that I like to use in relationship with having compassion. And by the way, compassion does not mean that we put aside the truth. It has nothing to do with that. And these verses bring that out. Proverbs 16:6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. We can speak the truth, so it cuts through a man and destroys him. We can use the truth in that way. But we need to speak the truth in love and with mercy. Ephesians 4:15. 2 Timothy 2:24 and 25 is a passage which we must have in our thinking and use in our dealing with men. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. And often when we're dealing with a situation, the people that we are trying to help oppose themselves with the arguments that they bring up. And this is very true in the sense of our own children. In dealing with an issue sometimes with our children, they are very illogical and often very emotional, especially daughters. They get very emotional and they make no sense whatsoever in what they say. None. And I've had to say, especially my one daughter, honey, we won't talk any more about it. When the emotions have calmed down, we'll talk about it more. Then she'd really be mad at me. But in gentleness, we must deal with a person, with a person who opposes himself. Actually, the things he is saying and advocating are working against him instead of for him. And then I love that Psalm 18, that verse in Psalms 18:35, where David said, "Thy gentleness hath made me great. Thy gentleness hath made me great." See, David destroyed death on certain occasions. You and I deserve death for our sins. But the Lord in his gentleness deals with us. He doesn't put aside the truth. He speaks the truth to us, but it's in compassion and gentleness. And you know, our gentleness towards those that we are helping can make them great and can boost them up and encourage them on the road to holiness and being effective for Jesus Christ. One fellow I've been helping some, meeting with him regularly, was just unfaithful. He knew better. He had had good help before, but he was unfaithful. We dealt with it. We talked about it. He knew it, and I spoke the truth to him, but he kept on. And I didn't give up on him. I prayed for him faithfully every day. Margie and I prayed faithfully for him. And finally, the Lord gave victory, and he came out of it. And he said to me after the battle, he says, "I just want to thank you for your patience." He says, "I know it wasn't easy getting with me when I was not faithful." And he says, "I just want to thank you for your patience." Well, I haven't always been like that. But I believe with all my heart it's a need. And then lastly, we must have faith for our people and in our people. We must have faith for them. Sometimes they do not have the faith themselves that they need. And we need to have faith for them. And we need to have faith in them. And we must communicate that to them. Jesus gave himself to the 12 apostles even though he knew they were going to fail. He knew they would fail. And one failed and never returned or was never restored. But Peter, he failed. But he says, "I have prayed for you, Peter. I have prayed for you, and when you are converted." See, he had faith for Peter, and he had faith in Peter. And when our people are going through tough times, we need to have faith for them, and we need to have faith in them, and we need to communicate that. Well, the results of man to man, what are we doing? We're laying the foundations for many generations in the lives of those people. That's what we're doing. And I fully expect that the people I meet with, that they will be changing, progressing in their walk with Jesus Christ, and I fully expect that to go on the rest of their life. That's my goal, that's my prayer for them, that's my desire, and I've had the privilege of seeing that, and I believe that. The people that I'm having the privilege of meeting with on a man-to-man basis, that they will go on for the rest of their life bearing fruit for Jesus Christ. What a privilege. What a privilege to minister to someone knowing that they will become the foundation of many generations. Had two Norwegians visit me in the summer. Two of the fellows who were key fellows in Bergen. And Bergen, by the way, was a very beautiful time. Denmark was the backside of the desert for me. Time of training of myself. But Norway was a time of great blessing. And when I left there, they gave me a book. It had a lot of pictures and told a little of the story of our time there, the 2 years there. And they had individual pictures of everyone that had been in the ministry. And we got that out, and we went through the pictures. And they were telling me about each individual, where they were and what they were doing. Now, we've been back for 5 years. Only one was not walking with the Lord. But he said, two of us have contact with him, and we believe he'll be back. But the thought that came to my mind, a little one shall become a thousand and a small one, a strong nation. Now, what is the reason? Personal interest and personal time with many of those people have made a difference. You could say the same. You could give testimonies to the same thing. It is a foundation of the Navigator ministry, helping people individually. It's the foundation. And it was that which Doss came upon, he saw the benefit of, and he saw that it was an absolute necessity in raising up men for Jesus Christ. And you and I need to carry on in that tradition with our basis being the principles of the Word of God, which we've talked about today. So let's carry on with all of our hearts and having the joy and the privilege of seeing men and women raised up for the Savior. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for those who have been faithful to us through the years. Individuals here and there who have ministered to us the Word of God, who have spoken the truth to us, who have prayed for us, who have shown us compassion and love. Thank you for these people, Father. How we know it's because of them and their prayers and you working through them that we are here today. Father, burn these truths and principles into our hearts. And may we have the joy of seeing many raised up to be fruitful servants of yours in these days and in the days to come. Thank you for the privilege which is ours, Lord, of laboring for you and for being a channel of the Holy Spirit to see men become Christ-like. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.